It's Jeremy Deeds here, certified financial planner and registered life planner with my money manifesto for Monday the 1st September 2014. So here we are, beginning of September, moving into autumn and away from summer, the start of the new academic year. And if you've been on holiday, I hope you had a wonderful time. And if you are going to take advantage of the exodus from the beaches of all us parents and children by going away now, then I hope you have a calm and relaxing time for the next couple of weeks. For me, I haven't really looked at the markets or portfolios for the last 3 weeks, so this little commentary will be a good catch-up for me, as I hope it will be for you. Mind you, the financial world doesn't seem to have come to an end as a result of my withdrawn attention, although we obviously have some fairly nasty situations in evidence around the world. The weather hyperbole, such the gravest crisis we have ever seen, or the gravest crisis we've seen since, is actually helpful, is rather debatable. In fact, markets seem to have been quite strong in August, and having said last month that investors were disappointed that key benchmarks such as 2000 on the S&P 500 and 7000 on the FTSE have not yet been breached, well, the S&P 500 did end the month a couple of points above 2000, and the FTSE gained over 1% to move back above 6800 in August. So perhaps I should go away more often. Anyway, let's do a quick tour of the regions. In the US, economic news remains reasonably favourable, and data in August was generally somewhat better than expected. Manufacturing continues to improve, although the housing sector still remains mixed. The consumer sector decelerated in July, but indications are that that same growth in income and spending are actually just temporary and will start to recover throughout the autumn. Moving across to Europe, the focus of attention is on whether the ECB will adopt quantitative easing this month. Eurozone inflation is now only just above zero, and the threat of deflation and its economic consequences are a very serious concern. However, with a raft of disappointing data last month, mostly from Germany, investors remain pretty pessimistic, really, about the chances of a sustained recovery in Eurozone anytime soon. And that's a situation which will also do nothing to alleviate the distress, the lack of confidence and the social tensions of Eurozone's high unemployment rate. And of course the Ukraine situation and the impact on the zone of sanctions on Russia, whilst I think politically and diplomatically necessary, it is not going to be a positive for Europe in economic terms. Interestingly, conversely, French stocks had a pretty good month in August. They were up around 3% on the appointment of new ministers to tackle the faltering economy. Crossing the Far East, in Japan, August data continued to indicate that the April sales tax increase, which went up from 5% to 8%, continues to have a negative impact on the economy, to the point where some are now even questioning whether the much-trumpeted revival plan introduced by Prime Minister Abe can actually work. We'll have to wait out on that one, of course. But even industrial production in July was disappointing. And I think we need to look quite carefully at the Bank of Japan's monthly policy announcement, which comes out this Thursday. Looking at some of the other indicators around the world, it's worth noting that the not unexpected slide in the euro against the US dollar on the back of a strengthening US economy and the potential for a rise in interest rates continues. In the US, US Treasury yields have fallen back a little, and that's mainly as a result of the recent Fed symposium at Jackson Hole, where observers took remarks to mean that monetary policy will continue to remain loose in the US. Oil, which has slid over the last couple of months, staged a recent mild recovery as oil traders see the economic recovery, especially in the UK and the US, as stronger than originally thought. It's interesting, depending on which market you're in, whether you're in oil or stocks or bonds, you tend to have a different view on the economic outlook, which is, I think, indicating the continuing conflict between the balance of risks and potential returns in the economy and financial markets. Let's have a look at what the markets did in August. Japan was unchanged. The Far East was up about 1.5%. Eurozone was actually up 2%. The UK is up 2.5%. US up 3.5%. Oil, although it did rise a bit towards the end of the month, was down 4%. And gold is up 1% and now stands at $1,288 an ounce. Oil is at $94.55 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate. So what's the bottom line? Well, markets have had a strong month, reflecting hopes of an ongoing recovery in the US, UK and eventually, I suppose, Japan. However, the list of concerns remains long: geopolitical concerns in Ukraine and the Middle East, financial concerns, especially in Spain and South America. Policy concerns, the Fed gets closer to raising interest rates. And valuation concerns that economic growth, whilst recovering, is still not robust enough to warrant current equity valuations, especially in the US and UK. And finally, it's worth bearing in mind that the Scots vote on the 18th of September, and polls indicates that the vote will be a no. However, it's by no means certain. And as a split will have significant and unpredictable consequences on both economies, a no vote will probably be viewed with some dismay by investors, although it's more likely to affect medium to smaller caps than the larger cap and more global FTSE 100 index. So in financial planning terms, as I keep saying, it remains important to have the correct asset allocation to ensure you have the right money in the right place at the right time and to have a balanced multi-asset class portfolio protected against those macroeconomic risks. Well, that's it from me. I hope that's been of some help. Have a very, very good week. Take care and go well.